From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Delighted that you've joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today we continue a series of studies on the law of God, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina, and the founder of the Let the Bible Speak ministry. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of Charles Spurgeon, found in his collection called Morning by Morning.
This morning's text is found in Hosea chapter 14 and verse 8. From me is thy fruit found. Our fruit is found from our God as to union. The fruit of the branch is directly traceable to the root. Sever the connection, the branch dies, and no fruit is produced. By virtue of our union with Christ, we bring forth fruit. Every bunch of grapes have been first in the root. It has passed through the stem, flowed through the sap vessels, and fashioned itself externally into fruit, but it was first in the root. So also every good work was first in Christ, and then is brought forth in us. O Christian, prize this precious union to Christ, for it must be the source of all the fruitfulness which thou canst hope to know. If thou wert not joined to Jesus Christ, thou wouldst be a barren bough indeed. Our fruit comes from God as to spiritual providence. When the dewdrops fall from heaven, when the cloud looks down from on high and is about to distill its liquid treasure, when the bright sun swells the berries of the cluster, each heavenly boon may whisper to the tree and say, "From me is thy fruit found." The fruit owes much to the root. That is essential to fruitfulness. But it owes very much also to external influences. How much we owe to God's grace providence, in which He provides us constantly with quickening, teaching, consolation, strength, or whatever else we want. To this we owe our all of usefulness or virtue. Our fruit comes from God as to wise husbandry. The gardener's sharp-edged knife promotes the fruitfulness of the tree by thinning the clusters and by cutting off superfluous shoots. So it is, Christian, with that pruning which the Lord gives to thee. My Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Since our God is the author of our spiritual graces, let us give to Him all the glory of our salvation.
How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene, and wonder how He could love sinner condemned unclean. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous.
your Bible reading is usually in the Authorized or King James Version, you have probably encountered words that are quite unfamiliar. Because the Authorized Version was translated in the 17th century, some of its words are no longer in use, or perhaps have a different meaning now. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer a booklet containing many of those archaic terms and their meaning in modern-day speech. In addition, the booklet contains a Bible reading plan that will help you to read the whole Bible through in 2 years, as well as the Psalms and the New Testament twice. To obtain your copy of A Bible Word List free of charge, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of A Bible Word List, and we'll be happy to provide it. In the course of these studies in the law of God, Dr. Cairns has emphasized that God gave the law to show sinful men their need of a Savior from sin. Yet it is also clear from the Bible that saved men and women have an obligation to keep the law of God, not the ceremonial or the civil law, but the moral law. In other words, the purpose of the law in the life of the believer is to produce holiness. Today, Dr. Cairns turns our attention to the true motivation for obedience to the law, love for God, and love for our fellow man. It is here that we find the power of all true religion. Now to introduce this message, love for God, here is Dr. Cairns.
We have had 7 messages on the law of God, and now we return to that subject. We're going to be considering the passage in Matthew chapter 22, We commence reading at verse 34 to verse 40, Matthew 22, verse 34. But when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these 2 commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Amen. The Lord will add His blessing to the reading of His word for His name's sake. Let's briefly bow in prayer. our eternal God and our Father in heaven, we thank Thee for Thy presence with us tonight, for all that our ears have heard, for the privilege we have had of singing together the praises of our great Redeemer and the testimony of redeemed hearts. We thank Thee for such a gathering. And now, Lord, as we come to the opening of Thy Word, we pray for the special help of the Spirit of God, the gracious anointing of His power. This preacher can do nothing of any importance or of any good without the blessed power of the Spirit of God. Lord, we pray that Thou wilt help me to preach and give to the people tonight a hearing ear and a responsive heart. We pray, our God and Father, that this night Thy Word will have free course and be glorified. We pray especially for any without Christ, that Thou wilt save them, young or old. Move upon hearts with redeeming grace. We pray in Jesus' name, for Jesus' sake. Amen. From our Bible reading, verse 37 through verse 39 of Matthew 22. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The Lord has summarized the entire moral duty of man in what the Hebrew Scriptures call 10 words, what we normally refer to as the 10 commandments. Then the Lord further summarized those 10 commandments in one word. The Apostle Paul referred to this in Romans 13 and verse 10 when he said, love is the fulfilling of the law. The Lord Jesus Christ made very clear the meaning of that statement in the text that we have read together this evening. We tend to think of the 10 commandments as a list of prohibitions. When you read them, you discover that 8 out of the 10 are indeed couched in terms of prohibition. But the 10 commandments are very, very much more than mere prohibitions. Now let me just make a side remark, as it were, that the Lord had very good reason for issuing most of the commandments in this negative form, this prohibitory form. Thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. For example, the Lord knew the innate wickedness of the heart of fallen man. The Lord recognized the inclination of that heart to break every boundary and to seek to twist every precept so as to give vent to the inner corruption and depravity of the soul. The Lord also knew that sinners were quite capable of claiming the loftiest moral justification for even the wickedest of their acts. We have abundant evidence of that around us in every hand. How often do we hear Sodomites, especially those who want to pass themselves off as Christians, how often do we hear them claiming to glorify God and to give expression to God's love and even to God's justice in the pursuit of their wicked perversion. Again, many adulterers claim love as a justification for their immorality. And since love is of God, they acknowledge no great crime in indulging their lust that they perversely call love. All of this, and you could cite many, many more examples, all of this is because all too many people have forgotten the law of God. They have conveniently ignored the fact that God has laid down a series of very far-reaching prohibitions that remove any semblance of an excuse for man's sin. So the prohibitions have a very good reason for their existence. But having said that, we fail to understand the Ten Commandments if we see only their prohibitions. The Lord may have stated these commandments in a negative form, but certainly He means us to see their full meaning in a very positive way. That's why in the New Testament, when I say in the New Testament, this is where we get the summary statement. Actually, these are but quotations from the Old Testament. There's no discrepancy here. That's why in the New Testament you have such a bold statement that this one word, love, sums up the entire Ten Commandments and therefore the entire law of God. The meaning of God's law is expressed by love. The Ten Commandments come down to this: thou shalt love God, and thou shalt love man. That is God's summary of the Ten Commandments. If you were to ask me to give you the entire duty that God has laid upon His creatures here on earth, I couldn't be more scriptural, more simple, or more succinct than simply saying, thou shalt love God, and thou shalt love man. The Lord never intended true religion to be a mere list of tedious do's and don'ts. He always intended that true religion be a matter of the heart. I want to make this statement to you, and I trust you'll never forget it. Because there is the Pharisee in every one of us. There is in every one of us, whether saved or unsaved, that natural bent to Phariseeism. The unsaved man is the Pharisee in that he feels, if I can only do this little thing or that little thing, it doesn't matter what way my heart is, somehow I'm going to curry favor with God. I'm going to amass merit. God will accept me. That is Phariseeism. And even among Christians, we find this Pharisaic spirit that would take note of outward forms, that would take delight even in marking prohibitions and saying, I don't do this and I don't do that and I don't do the other thing, without any real interest in the heart, without any real love for God or for man. Do we not see this all too prevalently in our churches today? Is there not some substance to the constant criticism that is leveled against so many fundamental churches, that they may well have an interest in the letter, but they have less interest in the love? However that may be true of others, let us make sure before God it is not true of us. The power of all true religion is in love for God and man. Never forget that. The power of all true religion is in love for God and man. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, though I have the oratory of a Chrysostom or even of an archangel, though I could move great companies of people and sway them with the beauty of the language, and have not love Paul says, I am but a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. If I had all faith so that I could move a mountain and do miracles, if I were gifted from God with such fervor that I would even give my body to be burned as a martyr rather than give up one iota of the Christian faith, and had not love, it would profit me nothing, and I would be nothing. The power of true religion is in love for God and man. The meaning of the law, thou shalt love. But equally it may be said that the meaning of love is settled by the law. Now this is a part that many people don't want to take any particular interest in. We hear ecumenical apostates or new evangelicals chanting constantly about love at the expense of truth. A love that ignores truth. A love that will admit no barriers between light and darkness, God and Satan, truth and error. They say love is the great justification for the pursuit, for example, of a one-world church under the aegis of the Vatican and the Bishop of Rome. Love is what drives us to break down every denominational difference. Let me tell you, my friend, the biblical meaning of love is settled by the law of God. What is love? Love is a hearty obedience to the Lord's commandments. Let me make that clear. Love, scripturally, never flies in the face of the Word of God. Love never flies in the face of the commandments of God. Love never disregards the law of God. Love is a hearty obedience to the Lord's commandments. That's not my opinion. That's the statement of Scripture in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 3. This is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And His commandments are not grievous. There you see the power of love. The carnal man says this is so inhibitory. The carnal man cannot understand how we may willingly and joyfully walk within the definition set out by the law of God. To the carnal man, the law of God is denying him an expression of the lustfulness and the wickedness of his heart. But to the believer, to the Christian, the commandment of God is not grievous. In fact, it is pleasant. Because rather than curbing what we desire to express, it enables us to express it by restraining the corruptions of the old man. John goes on to say in 1 John 2 verse 5, whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. So God's, the love that we profess can never be an excuse for breaking God's law.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there's a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.